the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
It started slowly, but it's beginning to accelerate. More than 200 public companies now stack Bitcoin on their balance sheets, with 26 new ones in June alone this year. In South Africa, JSE-listed AltVest is the first, though there are a number of lesser-known companies that have adopted Bitcoin on their balance sheets in the last year. There are some arguing that a Bitcoin treasury strategy is a must-have, but most companies are nowhere near jumping on board just yet. But there are some interesting treasury strategies that invest in something a little more vanilla, such as U.S. Treasury funds, where the yield that pops out on the other side is Bitcoin. Even for conservative companies, there are ways to dip your toes without going all in and still quietly build Bitcoin on your balance sheet. And we know a lot of CFOs are quietly exploring this, but they don't know yet how to go about it. We're joined now by Pat Hourigan, the CEO of Frictionless Markets, to get to the bottom of this. Hi, Pat. It's good to have you on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast. Let's talk a little bit about Bitcoin strategies for companies. There's definitely growing interest in this. More than 200 public companies, as I just mentioned, they're now doing it. You probably have to give the 5-minute elevator pitch whenever you're speaking to CEOs or CFOs. So maybe give us the 5-minute pitch. If I was somebody that met you in the corridor and knew nothing about it, how would you convince me?
Thank you so much, Kieran, for having me, and delighted to be here. You know, when you look at Bitcoin, the asset class now is 16 years old. And it's been the best performing asset class in our 11 of the last 15 years. There's something about this asset class that is making it sticky relative to other crypto assets. When you look at the dominance of Bitcoin in crypto space, it is the most dominant asset in the entire crypto universe. It attracts the greatest level of liquidity, and it has the longest support base. But of course, that is in the crypto universe. When you look at all the other types of investments that a CFO can make off of a corporate balance sheet, you have a broad variety. You have commodities like gold. We've seen a lot of action and investment in gold over the last number of months. You also have U.S. equities. You have bonds. You have real estate. You have other hard assets. So why invest in Bitcoin? Why put Bitcoin on your corporate balance sheet? You know, you ask for a 5-minute pitch. I can probably give it to you in 30 seconds. It's relatively simple. When you hold cash on your balance sheet, it does tend to lose value. That's by design. We print more and more cash. If you look at the United States, it's now heading for $38 trillion worth of sovereign debt. The increase of cash is going to accelerate over the next number of years as they roll off of lower interest rates during COVID into higher interest rate environments that they have today. You could see another $6, $7 trillion being added to the U.S. national debt. The U.S. dollar is the predominant reserve currency in the world. And when you look at U.S. equities, that they tend to suck in most of the inward investment. But when you start to figure out, as a CFO, how do you protect corporate wealth? Well, you have a bunch of instruments that are available to you, and you got to pick the one that has the longest corporate wealth preserving characteristics and qualities. It turns out that Bitcoin has been already proven to be that asset. So why hold Bitcoin on your balance sheet? Well, simply because it has the greatest staying power for wealth preservation from a corporate treasury perspective. And I'll give you some numbers on this. If you look at the last 3 to 5 years, Bitcoin has outperformed every single index, every single commodity, and it's outperformed all of the top companies. It's outperformed Nvidia, all the top AI companies. It's outperformed Apple, etc. And why is that? Why is it doing that? I mean, it's interesting. You got to understand why it's doing that. Bitcoin as a self-sovereign digital asset is non-confiscatable. You can't take it. You can't rip it from somebody. You can't take it from them. If you're a corporate treasurer and you want to ensure that you actually hold and own that asset, you have a variety of options available to you. You can self-custody it. You can buy it from exchanges. You can buy it OTC. You can buy ETFs now. The fastest growing ETF in the history of ETF industry is BlackRock's iBit Bitcoin ETF. And then you also have now this modern phenomenon in the last number of years, which are Bitcoin treasury companies. which have been extended out to a wider set of digital assets, so-called digital asset treasury companies. So in simple terms, why invest and hold Bitcoin on your balance sheet? Number one, it's the best performing asset class. Number two, it is guaranteed that you can self-sovereign custody it. You have choices of how you access it. And ultimately, from a corporate treasurer's perspective, it gives you the optionality into the future to store your corporate wealth in a transferable asset class. If you were to buy, let's say, for example, an office block, and it returns you a 3-4% yield per year, you're going to have to maintain it. You're going to have to manage tenants. You're going to have to manage contracts. You're going to have to upkeep that building. You're going to have to, you know, pay taxes on it, etc. With Bitcoin, you don't have to do any of that stuff, right? Okay. It's a more pristine asset class to manage on your balance sheet. Gold is probably the one that everybody looks to as the store of wealth. The flight risk when you have monetary issues globally. But if you look at gold, what's interesting is that it's difficult to custody. You can't really self-custody it. It's quite difficult to do so. It's not really portable. And it is an asset class that we think in frictionless, and I think across the Bitcoin industry, that you're going to see a lot of rotation out of from gold into Bitcoin. So as a corporate, if you are serious about preserving long-term corporate wealth, you need to look at the best asset class. And that has been proven to be Bitcoin over the last 11 or 15 years. And with the institutional adoption of Bitcoin, you're starting to see more and more products, more and more access to different types of products that give you access to Bitcoin without any of the complexity of holding it.
Now, we spoke a little while ago, and you were in the process of launching a Bitcoin treasury company in Kenya. And if I remember correctly, you were going to actually list it on the Kenyan stock exchange. I asked you at the time, why Kenya and not South Africa? South Africa probably has got much bigger Bitcoin adoption than Kenya or any other part of Africa. So maybe explain your thinking, and do you expect to get much traction in Kenya for a Bitcoin treasury strategy?
Sure. Okay, well, maybe let's take a short period of time to describe what a Bitcoin treasury company is, right? Because I think that's important. There's many ways to access Bitcoin. You can purchase it on exchanges, you can go to OTC desks, you can buy an ETF, or you can invest in a digital asset treasury company or a Bitcoin treasury company. What is a Bitcoin treasury company? Bitcoin treasury company is simply a public company. That means it's listed on a public stock exchange. You can buy and sell the shares of that company through normal market hours. And that company, that public company's balance sheet is denominated in Bitcoin. It has a specific focus, which is to increase the amount of Bitcoin per share. So if you buy a share today in a public Bitcoin treasury company, tomorrow or next week or the week after, it should have more Bitcoin per share. Okay. So that means it's adding more value to you as a shareholder. The methodology of doing that is either through generating profits from an operating company or using the financial markets and the capital markets with variable types of financial instruments to add more Bitcoin per share. Some of that might be debt, some of it might be preferreds, etc. But fundamentally, a Bitcoin treasury company is a publicly traded company that has a Bitcoin denominated balance sheet and has a specific ethos on adding Bitcoin to that balance sheet through different methods. So that's like, we just sort of pause at that for a second. Why Kenya? So the phenomenon and trend that you see across a lot of global markets, and there's different precedents for this. In Japan, it's Metaplanet. In the UK, it's Smarter Web Company. In the United States, you have a plethora of these Bitcoin treasury companies now. In general, you have two real advantages that you can exploit for a Bitcoin treasury company. The first one is a local jurisdictional advantage. So, for example, in Kenya, public equities are tax exempt, right? There's no capital gains tax on it, right? Whereas the proposed digital asset legislation, there will be a tax, a transaction tax on Bitcoin. So if you want to get, as an institution, if you want to get access to the most tax optimized structure for acquiring Bitcoin and putting it on your balance sheet or putting it into your portfolio, a digital asset treasury or a Bitcoin treasury public equity is the best way to do it, right? So that's, you tend to see this. Metaplanet in Japan is a good example of it. Beyond that, if you look at other factors that might be favorable for countries like Kenya. So Kenya is an interesting country. In East Africa, it's seated there. It has a strong, stable government. It also has a strong, stable set of legislation for digital assets that have passed Houses of Parliament and that are now coming into effect. And there's a very young, educated population. A lot of people speak English, and it's seen as a hub for the whole of East Africa. So why Kenya? Well, first of all, if we launch a Bitcoin treasury company there, there is a tax advantage. Okay, that means institutions can get access to, through the equity markets, can get access at a 0% capital gain structure. And then also you have the ability for individuals through their M-Pesa accounts to get access to Bitcoin without necessarily having to purchase Bitcoin. Of course, the big benefit, if it works right, is that a Bitcoin treasury company trades at a premium to the Bitcoin that it holds on its balance sheet. And really, that comes down to the execution of the senior management, the board of the company, and what the actual strategy and vision for the company is. What are you turning Bitcoin? Are you turning your operating profit into Bitcoin, therefore increasing your Bitcoin per share? Are you leveraging the capital markets correctly? Kenya has all of these characteristics. It has all of these options available to you. So once you list on the Nairobi Stock Exchange, you have a public equity that can be cross-listed into other countries, other neighboring countries like Tanzania, etc. So you're using the stability of the Kenyan market to drive capital flows inbound from cross-listing. That's one example. And secondly, I guess what you're trying to do is put a Bitcoin equity product in the hands of retail customers. And there's some interesting characteristics. We've talked about this before, about different African countries and how cash and funds flow within those countries. You have, you know, arguably stable coins existed first in Kenya with M-Pesa. So you have a lot of adoption with mobile banking. You have a lot of adoption with mobile payments. And now you firms like M-Pesa adding equities to those apps. So giving those customers, those retail clients, access to co-invest alongside institutional investors in the same asset class in a tax optimized vehicle. That's why you see Bitcoin treasury companies popping up in some of these jurisdictions, because they have this heavy jurisdictional advantage that you probably don't have in, say, the likes of Germany or Ireland or other countries that have more established digital asset legislation.
Are there some companies better suited to a Bitcoin reserve strategy, some that you would advise not to go down that road?
It's a good question. I would advise, I got to be careful about giving advice, right? But it's my conviction that every company worldwide, or 400 million enterprises worldwide, I think you sent me a text and you said there was like 126 were added in June, and then roughly about 200 public companies. Every company should have a Bitcoin strategy, right? Now, those strategies are going to be different and going to be tailored to every different type of scenario. But every company worldwide, there are 400 million enterprises. If every company in Europe, for example, there's 25 million businesses in Europe. If every company in Europe wanted to have one Bitcoin, which is about, I think, as of this morning, $116,000, there isn't enough Bitcoin, right? There's 21 million of it. There isn't enough for every single enterprise out there if they wanted to hold one. As an asset class, it has unique characteristics that other commodities don't have, right? It's fungibility, it's portability, et cetera, right? It's transferability, it's divisibility, okay? You can't say that of other commodities. Every single company worldwide should be thinking about how to get access to Bitcoin in the way that suits them locally, from their tax perspective, from their local custody rules perspective, and then also from their internal governance perspective. Every company should do it. Whether you're a local plumbing business or, you know, a Fortune 500 company, everybody should be thinking about how do you add Bitcoin to your balance sheet. Maybe come back to the first. So yes, everyone should. How do you do it? Well, there are lots of different ways of doing it. Some companies have been doing this for probably almost a decade, right? They've been quietly adding Bitcoin to their balance sheet. Indeed, some of the big exchanges, Coinbase, etc., Binance, are big holders of Bitcoin positions themselves on their own balance sheet. So how do you do it? Well, I think there's really three ways. Number one, you can go buy Bitcoin, right? And there's many ways you can buy it. You can buy it at exchanges in South Africa. You guys have lots of exchanges. There are global exchanges, Binance, Coinbase, etc. You can buy it there and you can custody it with those exchanges, or you can custody yourself on various types of wallets and different types of wallet solutions. That adds technical complexity and you got to manage it. Okay. So if you're a medium-sized business in South Africa or Tanzania or Kenya, and you're busy sending out invoices every month, this is just another thing for you to do. The other way you can do it is you can go to your financial advisor, your brokerage account, and you can ask them to buy Bitcoin for you. It turns out the best way for them to buy Bitcoin is to buy an ETF. So the ETFs, the BlackRock ETFs, there's any amount of them now. There's ETFs being launched in different countries. I think most markets worldwide will have some kind of digital asset ETF, whether it's an index or pure spot ETF launched within the next number of years. We've had them in Europe for a long time as ETNs and ETPs. Then the Americans came along and launched their stellar ETF funds through BlackRock, etc. So you can buy it through that. Alternatively, you can go and you can buy a public equity. So you can buy equity in a company whose vision is purely denominated in Bitcoin. And if you think about it from the risk reward return, if you are going to just buy Bitcoin and hold it on your balance sheet, there's a level of complexity and you're going to enjoy the benefits of Bitcoin anyways. If you buy an ETF, there might be some additional tax advantages to buying an ETF over Bitcoin. And that might, you know, fine, you can do that. You still got to go buy it through your brokerage, etc. But ETFs don't grow, right? Their NAV is one, right? They're designed to just buy the asset, hold it, sell it to you, and then they auto balance throughout the day and intraday. Whereas a Bitcoin treasury company, it's express mandate to add more Bitcoin per share. And it will use all of its corporate resources and all of its activity and all of its enterprise and endeavor will go towards creating more Bitcoin per share, right? So if you look at some of the companies that have excelled in this area and some that have not, the ones that have excelled, Strategy, these are pioneers. Michael Saylor is the pioneer of a Bitcoin equity product. Why was that successful? Because he took this giant leap. He took hundreds of millions of dollars from his company's treasury back in COVID times. And he, you know, 5 years ago, he bought Bitcoin and then he doubled down and he said, this is the way that we're going to grow this company. Other companies like Metaplanet in Japan, they have a singular focus, which is to grow the amount of Bitcoin on their balance sheet. Smarter Web in the UK. These are all the companies that are doing this well, executing it well. And why are they doing that? Because they have that focus, that singular focus, which is, we may have an operating company, but we are destined to create more Bitcoin per share. That's a really important thing. And there's a skill level in that. How do you time the market? When do you buy? What your buying pattern is? How do you custody it? What capital instruments are you using in the market so you can raise more capital? Can you use debt? Can you use preferreds, etc., right? Can you use convertibles? So those are the companies that are doing it well. The companies that have not done it well, and actually, if you look, the last quarter has been quite rough on Bitcoin treasury companies. Why has it been rough? It's been rough because some of the companies that have come into the market, they don't have that conviction, right? They're not Bitcoin treasury companies. They may have, you know, they've seen a fad or they've seen, you know, fabulous returns being made, and they've decided we're going to launch a Bitcoin treasury company. I mean, I know, you know, a handful of these companies that may be doing X or Y, nothing got to do with digital assets, nothing got to do with financial engineering. They don't really understand how it works, but they make an announcement that they're adding Bitcoin to their balance sheet, and then their shares will pop for a period of time, but they can't sustain it. Why? Because they don't have the actual program in place. And the companies that have been very successful have these long-term programs. Metaplanet is probably a good example. Metaplanet to date is, you know, it was a $10 million company, struggling hotel company in Japan, and it's popped all the way up to about $6 billion. But it's gone through, in a period of 2.5 years, it's gone through some cycles, right? It's gone through these waves of massive MNAV. MNAV is the measure that's used, right? It's the NAV measure of the company. If you think about the amount of Bitcoin that they hold in the balance sheet relative to the share price, what you're seeing is an expression of that MNAV, right? Sometimes you've seen Metaplanet go to many multiples of MNAV, which means the premium for the shares, the share premium above the amount of Bitcoin they hold has been, you know, in the, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10x, right, upwards. And then it compresses all the way down. And there's a panic when it's below one, right? So it means that the, you know, the company's value is below its actual Bitcoin holdings. Why has that happened? In the last 3 to 6 months, you've seen this massive swing, this pendulum effect in the Bitcoin treasury space because there's been an influx of weaker Bitcoin treasury companies, ones that cannot possibly support their Bitcoin purchases through capital markets and through financial engineering or through excessive profit taking. They've not been able to do that. So they made the announcement, they got the share pop, they couldn't follow through, and then the market rinses them. That's what happens, right? So back to the question you answered, why does it suit some companies and suit other ones? Well, every company should have a Bitcoin strategy globally, every single one, right? Everybody should have one. But if you intend on becoming a public Bitcoin treasury company, you have to have a long-term plan, and you've got to be able to identify the various market cycles and have the capital instruments available to you, whether it's debt, convertibles, perpetuals, equity at the markets. You have to have all of those financial tools available in your arsenal so that you can continue to support your share price and continue to support your MNAV. I do think maybe one final thing on this, if anyone's out there listening and is an aficionado of Bitcoin treasury companies, I think now we're seeing, once the market has been rinsed, I think you're going to see a lot of underpriced Bitcoin treasury companies, companies like Metaplanet, SmarterWeb, et cetera. And these represent great investment opportunities to capture the upside as the market cycles its way through.
Very interesting. We're running out of time, but I want very quickly to just give me in 1 minute about frictionless markets, your company and your background in finance.
Sure. Well, look, I have a current company, Frictionless Markets. We're based in Luxembourg. You know, really, we've spent the last maybe 20 minutes talking about Bitcoin treasury companies, which represents the purest form of digital capital, right? That's what it is. Today, there is only about 1.1%, maybe 0.125% of the global markets are actually digital. Everything else is analog, right? Analog, real estate, diamonds, precious art, cars, cash, equities, all analog. Everything's analog. It might move on sometimes it might move on digital rails, but it's an analog product, right? Frictionless Markets was designed to produce a digital capital infrastructure, and that's what we've built in Luxembourg. We've got another bunch of expansions globally happening at the moment, one into Bahrain, another one in Japan. Frictionless produces a digital capital markets infrastructure. What does that mean? It means we take cash, which is analog. So today we support 5 currencies, British pound, euro, US dollar, Hong Kong and yen. We provide a digital version of those currencies in the form of an institutional deposit token. It's for institutional capital flows only. Why? Well, you need digital cap. If you're going to invest in digital capital, you need cash that moves at light speed across international boundaries in, you know, the amount of time it takes to confirm a block transaction. When you have existing SWIFT-based system, sometimes it takes days. Our tokens, our institutional deposit tokens, fully reserved at globally systemic important banks like Barclays and Citi, they move in seconds. So if you want to confirm a trade for a Bitcoin treasury company or an equity that's been tokenized or a building that's been tokenized or whatever, right, any asset class, the cash leg of that should be tokenized so that you can confirm that transaction through a smart contract. We produce that, right? So we have one set of products that are basically multi-currency, institutional-like stablecoins. Beyond that, we have on-chain FX for spot and forward. Why? Because institutions will always want to do FX. We have quite a good product on that. If you're investing into a hedge position, you know, you're investing dollars and you want to, you know, it's going to cash out in euros or whatever, we have a forward product for that. So that's one set of products we have. Of course, we have tokenized cash solutions. So if you're holding US dollars, British pounds, euros, you can earn daily yield. In fact, yield can be calculated down to the second, which you can't really do today with money market funds. But our digital cash solutions, we overlay on top of State Street and BlackRock, and we provide on-chain yield for those institutional deposit tokens. Right, that's another set of products we provide. And then lastly, you mentioned at the start of the call, we provide Bitcoin structured products. So one of the products that we provide today is a Bitcoin yielding money market fund. It is the most simplistic way of earning Bitcoin without taking any real principal risk. So what you do is you put your cash into a money market fund through us, one of our digitized tokenized money market funds, and it pays out the yield in Bitcoin, right? So that's a static way, quite a passive way of building a Bitcoin balance sheet without taking any real principal risk, because all your principal is in a money market fund, right? Tokenized money market fund. Other asset classes. Our solution works across a whole bunch of asset classes. We've tokenized company equity, carbon credits, infrastructure funds, private credit funds, secondaries, etc. So the infrastructure works across all of those asset classes within the European Union. Basically, it's a securitization that uses a set of legislation to represent the legal and economic ownership rights of an investor through the token. And then you can transport it across any blockchain. So that company doing quite well. We have begun the process of opening up a digital asset treasury company in Bahrain under the brand Pearl Digital. That will go live at some time in Q1 next year. We're going through the approval processes now. It's shaping up quite well. Very similar to the Kenyan type of digital asset treasury company, with some subtle differences for the local jurisdiction in the GCC and the neighboring country being Saudi Arabia. And then, of course, we plan on launching our brand in Kenya under the brand name Kilimanjaro, although I was told very often that Kilimanjaro is in Tanzania. But, of course, it is the apex piece of geography in Africa, and I think it's suitable for the apex asset.
Pat Hourigan, CEO of Frictionless Markets. We're going to leave it there. That was a fascinating discussion, and we're going to check back in with you, see how your Kenyan Bitcoin Reserve Strategy project is going. But thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.